Please take your Bibles out and turn with thee to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Begin reading with verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. For not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have your precious word, and it's such a joy, Father, to be able to read it together and to look at it, to search it, to have your direction and leadership to teach us exactly what it has to say for each one of us, because it applies to our hearts differently depending on what need we have for the day and for the hour. And so please that you would just strengthen us, Father, and restore our strength and give us the power and the wisdom that you have for us. Because, Father, to do it on our own is hopeless. We struggle each day trying to accomplish something, and many times we do it without your presence and without your power. And forgive us, Father, for that we always seek your will and way, and we do, Father, what you want us to do. We're where you want us to be. Father, please, just guide and lead us each and every day. And speak to our hearts now through this precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we kind of ended last week. We made the statement that no one since Adam dared to enter into the presence of God without the blood. Prior to Adam's fall, he was able to go right into the presence of God and visit with him and fellowship with him. But when the fall he ate of the forbidden fruit, that time was over. And since that day, every time that the high priest or anyone that would come before God would always bring a sacrifice, and that sacrifice always involved and always included the blood. And so we have the joy of having the Lord Jesus, his precious blood covers us, and we do not literally carry the blood of the Lord Jesus while we go into the presence of God the Father, but we are cleansed by it, we have been covered by it, and our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And since the blood, since the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he has satisfied his Father completely. And when we come by faith to him and have trusted in him as our Savior, then we too have joined. He has given us the faith. We have joined the family of God. Our sins are forgiven. We have been set free. And we can approach our God through and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Judaism It was the way of death. The only way that you could ever approach God was through the death of an animal. Always the death of the animal, and always with the presence of that blood from that animal. But Christ, as the 20th verse tells us, has a new and living way. And we need to abide by that new and living way, not go back to the old laws and the old rules it was, but go to the living way of the Lord Jesus. He is not dead. He is alive. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to be in several verses of Scripture today. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Ever liveth. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6. This is a very familiar one for you. John chapter 14. Verse 6. It's one we read often but need to be reminded of. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Many times folks want to miss the Lord Jesus. They do not come by faith to him. They think they can just go to right to God the Father. But as we come back now to Hebrews 10, and we look at that 20th verse once again, by a new and living way. Often when you're visiting with someone, why, you tell them that you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. It needs to be a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And they'll say, "Well, I know that that's your way, but you know, we've all got the same goal. We're all going to heaven, and we're just going a little different way." Well, that's a lie, because there is no back door. There is no other way. There's no side door. There's no shortcut. The only way that you can come to God the Father, the only way that you can have your sins forgiven, if you confess your sin and call upon the Lord Jesus to save you. That is the only means that you have. All ways except through Jesus are the ways that the devil gives, and the way that he gives leads you straight to hell. And that's where you're going. You're condemned already if you make no choice at all. And that's what most of the world today, their decision is no decision. And they don't realize that by making no decision, that they are condemned already. And that's what the Word of God tells us. And so we need to stand up and proclaim that precious Word. And we look at this, and over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. And yet the Word of God tells us here it is a new and living way. And even though it was 2,000 years ago, today it's just as new and just as alive and just as living as it was the day that he died on the cross and rose again. Nothing has changed. And so when we read that verse of Scripture there, even though this was back in 64 A.D., 2,000 years ago to us, it doesn't matter, because it was 30 years ago before when Jesus died on the cross. It is still a new and living way. And we need to accept that. And that living way means that it's alive, new, and ever lives. When it says a living way, ever lives. And so when we look at this for 2,000 years ago, again, still being a new and living way, Jesus is as powerful and as sure as the day that he entered into the veil. And when I say entered into the veil, is the day that he presented his blood to his Father at the throne of God in heaven. And that was what he did. And we have the picture of the tabernacle. And we have in the tabernacle, and at the day that Jesus died on the cross, the tabernacle didn't exist any longer. They had long since built temples, and the temple that the veil was present in, again, we know was torn from top to bottom. And there's some say that it was over an inch thick. Some say that the veil was over 4 inches thick. It was a sewn member, and no way that any individual or a team of horses could pull this thing apart. And yet on the very day that Jesus died on the cross, we find that that separation is gone. And what a glorious day, a living way, as the scripture says, new and living way. And then the scripture continues and tells us here in verse 20 that not only by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. Consecrated. Consecrated means dedicated. It means initiated. So he has given us the new way. He has initiated the new way for us, a new and living way. Because he lives, he makes intercession for us. Because he lives, he is able to save us to the uttermost, all who come by him, because he lives. And you have to trust in him and him alone. We shall live because he lives. And that scripture continues to say, through the veil. Through the veil. And it doesn't stop there. It says through the veil, that is to say his flesh. So when we use this tabernacle or the temple, but you use the tabernacle as a picture, I want you to see that this isn't just something that some man has dreamed up when we talk about the beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the lampstand, it is pure gold. It is gold stands for deity in the Word of God. And it's pure gold, and that lampstand stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do you have the lampstand, but in that lampstand you have the oil. The oil, it always stands for the Holy Spirit when it comes to the Word of God. And what is produced by the lampstand and the oil is the light, and the light that we have so that we can know the Lord Jesus. What is across the way from the lampstand is the table of showbread. What's upon the table of showbread is the bread that we can feed upon. And so when you study the Word of God, because you see, no one enters this far, no one comes this far unless you have trusted in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Because the top picture, you back up to that, and that little tiny square you see right in front of the door of the courtyard is a brazen altar. Brass stands for judgment. And it's been a while since we've been through this. Brass stands for judgment. And whenever you come to that altar, you have to bring a sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice in order to go any further into the tabernacle or into the courtyard. And so when you bring that sacrifice, and for us then, our sacrifice is the precious Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. That altar represents the cross. Well, the very first thing then that takes place in our lives is the cleansing, the washing of the Word. Well, what's the next item of furniture? Is the brazen laver. And so you come and you wash. Now, doesn't it seem ironic that that brazen laver is made from the women's mirrors? What does a mirror do? A mirror shows you exactly who you are. Now, all of us this morning, I'm sure, spent, what, hour and a half, 2 hours staring at ourselves in the mirror, just admiring, looking at ourselves, and, yeah, just... Now, Richard's the only one's being honest, I mean, because that's what he did. You know, isn't that a wonderful example of really ourselves? Because if you're honest with yourself, you look in the mirror just long enough to feel like you make yourself presentable, and then you're gone. And you hope that you do look presentable to the rest of the world, but you don't stare into the mirror, and I'm sure some do, but anyone that's honest with themselves does not stare into the mirror to admire themselves. And you need to realize that as this brazen laver was designed, they used the women's mirrors to do that, and this was polished. And so when you go to wash, you see yourself, and you see the dirt. Why there's the water is the word of God, and it does the washing, it does the cleansing. And then, only then, can you go into the lower part, and that's into the holy place, the first room, and feed upon the bread. Because you see, in order for us to sit down and study the word of God, you need to confess your sin. You need to say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm still living in the flesh, but I love you, and I want your word. And so when you sit down to study your word, you go by the laver before you get that far. And it's impossible for us to study the word of God unless you have the light. We have the light from the lampstand. We have the light from the oil, from the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts and helps us to understand the word of God. We cannot understand it. We talked about this at length in Sunday school, how we try our best to explain to somebody something that's wrong or something that doctrinally they don't understand. We can't do that. We have to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them they must be born again. And until they accept the by faith that Jesus died on the cross, forgave them of their sins, and they trust solely in Jesus and Jesus alone, not baptism, not church membership, nothing else, only in Jesus to save them. When that day comes, then that is the day the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Well, that has taken place once you've been to the altar, once you've been to the laver, you've done the washing, now you're in and you're enjoying the feeding. And the next step is that tiny little box that's in the right next to the line there, the veil, and that is the incense altar or prayer altar. Because you see, that's the time that we establish and we begin to have wonderful fellowship with God the Father. Where is God the Father? God the Father is in the Holy of Holies, the very last room. He is between the cherubims up on the mercy seat, and it's a mercy seat because the blood has been applied. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest takes the blood of the goat and sprinkles it seven times the number of perfection. And so it allows us to come. Well, because now we understand that back in Leviticus and Exodus, now we can come, and when we read this, we can understand that when it says through the veil, who in the world is going to understand what that means when it says through the veil if you don't understand the tabernacle? Because you see, that veil between the holy place and Holy of Holies was only entered in once a year. That's it. Now, when Jesus says, I'm a new and living way, that means you can go in there anytime, any day, as often as you want, because Jesus has taken that veil down and he stands there. And so you come by faith to Jesus. Because of Jesus, you can go right to the Father at any time. Definitely a new and living way. And so when we see this, we find that Christ initiated this new and living way. He followed the will of his Father by dying on the cross. And is when we read this scripture verse here, it says, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And so that veil is gone. Behind, following the prayer altar, the incense altar, that veil has, from top to bottom, there's no question that that no one snuck underneath it. It is torn in two to where you can go right to God the Father. And again, as we said earlier, there is no other way. There is no back door. There is no side door. There is no way to get into God's presence, to have your sins forgiven, to enjoy eternity with Him without coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and faith alone to trust in Him. Now, the world says there's 1,000 different ways, but there's only one way. So if the world says there's 1,000, there's 999 that are going to hell, because there's only one way. And you need to trust in that way and that way only. Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. That veil separated man from God and God from man. And again, only one day were they allowed to go. And so, if Jesus would have not been crucified, the barrier between God and man would still be there. If He chose not to go to the cross, I'm just working on the scripture verses concerning Judas and how that I don't believe Judas thought. He didn't think. But I don't think he thought that Jesus would be condemned. He just saw a means of making some money. 30 pieces of silver. He was the keeper of the bag of the treasury all the time, but he never could really spend it like he wanted to. He couldn't buy what he wanted to buy. And so he saw this opportunity, and Jesus had snuck out a dozen times when they tried to arrest him before. So, you know, he'll probably do it again. So what happened when he was condemned? That's when what Judas recognized what he had done. Now, it says he repented. And so I hope that you don't think that means he got saved, because he didn't. We talked about the drinking and the drunks earlier. See, don't come to Sunday school. You miss a lot of conversation. And the drunk that gets arrested when he's driving down the road and he gets pulled over by the state police and they recognize that he's drunk, and so he gets thrown in jail. He's sorry for two things. Number one, probably that he got caught. And number two, that he did it. Shouldn't have drove. Shouldn't have done it. That's all he repented of, was what he did. And same goes for Judas. Judas repented of what he did. He didn't repent of his sin. He didn't plead, because Jesus would have heard him anywhere. If he'd have fallen on his face and said, "Jesus, forgive me," he would have. But instead of that, all the grief and all the pain and all the suffering that Judas faced, he decided to give the money back. Now, you know that Judas is grieving when he gives the money back, because he did it all for the money. And he comes and he gives the money back to him and he says, "Here, take it." And chief priests and the scribes, the high priest says, "We don't want that. We got what we wanted. We got Jesus. He's been arrested and he's been condemned. You can do whatever you want to do with that." And in Judas's anger and his pain and his suffering, he cast it onto the floor. And he goes out, and the scripture says he hangs himself. And Acts tells us that he goes headlong over the cliff. And it's believed that in his pain, in his hurt, he could not face any one more day of life. And he went out and he hanged himself. And it's believed that the rope broke and he went down over the cliff and his guts flew out of him. And so he's dead. He's in hell. He could have repented, but he chose not to. And you see, as we look at what Jesus did on the cross, when Jesus was arrested in the garden, if he would have just slipped away, he's done it many times, because it wasn't his time. Peter tried to defend him. Remember, he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. He should have trained a little bit better with that sword that he had in his hand. Because it's believed he went for his neck and caught his ear. Yeah, he wanted to kill him. But Jesus says, no, Peter, this is my time. This is my time. And so Jesus went all the way to the cross. And because he went all the way to the cross, that barrier has been broken down between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. It's broken down for us so that we can go right to the Father at any time if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, be so thankful. Again, only once a year could the high priest, one individual, the high priest only, go into the Holy of Holies. We can go in by the new and living way anytime. And as we look now at that 21st verse, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. This is one of the few places that word high means mighty. And so we find here that having a mighty priest over the house of God. What house? The temple? What house? What house? Let's look up some verses of Scripture here. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 first. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Whose house are we? Or we are. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Peter. 2:9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto the marvelous light. So where or who is the house of God? It is the believers. We are the church. We are the house of God. One more, if you want to go back with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5 and 6. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are his church. And then we move on to verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. As we said, we're back in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near. That invitation was never given to the common man. That invitation was never given to the high priest. The high priest was allowed on the Day of Atonement to go into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. He went in twice, once for himself, because they had to, he had to get the sins, his own sins forgiven and taken care of. So there was a bullock killed, and he confessed his sin, and he took the blood of that bullock, and he went through the gate, through by the prayer altar, and right into the veil to the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled the blood of that bullock seven times in there. If he did not confess all of his sin, he dropped dead. They always, tradition says, that they tied a rope to the leg, to the foot of the high priest, because no one could enter in. If the pomegranates that made the noise, if it stopped, they felt he was dead and they would drag him out. Then he would go back in, if he lived through the first event, he would go back in after killing the blood and gaining the blood of the one goat. And I always loved that because they called it the Lord's goat, the one that was allowed to be put to death. That's the Lord's goat. And they took the blood and they took it in and they sprinkled it seven times on the mercy seat. And then they waited another year before they could enjoy that. Because, you see, it was something that they had to do every season, every year. And so now we are giving the invitation. And that's what this is. This is an invitation. Let us draw near. Let us come to him. He's inviting us. That invitation was never there before. Now, what are you going to do with that invitation? Are you going to still busy yourself with the things of the world? Or are you going to accept that invitation and you're going to go into him? And the scripture tells us, and we'll begin here next week, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's an awful lot there, and we're not going to rush through it. So the only thing that I'm going to leave you with is we have been invited. right into the Holy of Holies, right into the presence of God. Now, we use this as a picture, and it is a beautiful picture of the believer. It's a beautiful picture of God's plan of salvation. Everything here is pointing to the Lord Jesus, to his coming. And yet understand the reason that God cannot be in the Holy of Holies, and Jesus could not take his blood into the temple, the earthly temple, and present it, because it is all earthy. It's all cursed. This could not take place to be a perfect sacrifice. Jesus had to take his precious blood home to the throne of God in heaven and present it to him. He could not do it here on earth because of the cursed. Even though it was God's plan, it was God's making, everything was there, yet it was still earthy. And the only thing that this could bring is forgiveness for a season. But Jesus has a new and living way for us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together and just go through this over and over again. And Father, we just need to enjoy it and thank you for it, so that we can understand how great that your sacrifice was for us, that it is now eternal. It's not something that's temporary. Everything that was in the law and in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the First Covenant, was strictly temporary. It was until the fullness of time. Until, Father, you set the time, your Son was virgin born, lived, died, rose again. And thank you for that plan, and thank you for taking our sins away. And we come to you by faith, believing, knowing that you've taken my sin away and you've set me free. Thank you, Father. I hope, I pray that there's no one here that has not accepted you as their Savior. And Father, help us to take that message out. And Father, go before us with your Spirit and convict those hearts and open those hearts up, that when we speak to them that they are ready to hear and respond and say, yes, I want Jesus. Thank you for your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.